Hello, we are on the air. This is Kathy Cook, also known around the world as Bright Lights Pathfinders. It's February the 7th, 2012, and with me, I have my co-host. Who are you?
Michael Goger.
Hello there, Michael Goger.
How you doing?
It's been a weird day. This energy shift is really amazing.
Well,
yeah, it's not a weird day. It's just kind of like I was meditating. I woke out of the meditation at 8 o'clock, and I literally felt my body as an energy field only. It was really crazy. It was great. It felt so good. It was just like, you know, just the energies, and it's as if my body was pushing together the energies to form the body. It was great. 2 days ago, no, now it was 3 days ago, I could literally see the energy field, the electromagnetic energy fields through the, looks like little drizzles of rain again, misty rain like it did the other month, and even little Adam saw it. He said his feet, and his legs went kind of energy-wise. It's really cool. I just hope that everybody's doing all right out there. This is, again, I don't know what happens, but it's almost like my mind goes blank when I, like last week, Michael, so you're going to have to take over. I'm just going to let you handle it because something's happening inside of my head again with the thought process. It's weird, so go ahead and you do some teaching, and when I get let go of whatever's pulling in on me, I will join in. How's that? Start over. Last week I couldn't even get my words out. It was so blah, 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 you know. And it's happening again, and it only happens once in a while. And it's, you know, I do want to touch on some voodoo and demonic forces and good versus evil and spiritual warfare on this show tonight. But I would like for you to go on and just give some, you know, heads up on what you're feeling and seeing in the world today.
Keep it on. Boy, are you good at getting out of doing the dishes and making the bed.
Yep. Well, if I would be let alone with whatever's zapping in on me, then I would be fine. But until that, I'm, you know, here's my voice back. See, now I've got my work back.
Wow.
It's like, it's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got to start off, the show is started off because we were started late, even though we were on. So I wanted to say first that I have a little prayer to start it out, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I come together with you and Michael and all that want to join in. We ask for you to speak for us, do for us, be for us, and surround us with the highest good and place the full armor of you, O Lord Jesus Christ, upon us. And in relations of the world and the universe, we ask that we all come together as one and respect each other highest and the deepest that we can and give all love and glory to you, O Lord Jesus Christ Almighty, and continue to work with President Obama's staff and surround him and bless him as he continues to bring this world to a better place, this United States of America. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Very good, baby.
Thank you.
You go ahead and take a little meditation there, and then I'll touch on maybe negative energy.
That sounds great. Let me hear what you have to say. I just want to know a little bit. There's so much going on that I don't even know where to start. So that's one problem I've got. Not a problem. It's just I'm putting the pieces together. I would like to not have any more dots to connect, but it's just a lot of them. So anyway, hit on the negative forces and what's happening out there versus the positive.
Yeah, and I can touch on a few things, maybe help a few people. You go ahead and meditate. My name is Michael Goger. Tassie's co-host. I call her Tassie.
And I'm here in Charlotte, the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina, known as Mecklenburg County. Where are you, Michael?
I'm in upstate New York.
All right.
Greene County.
The Southern lady and the Northern gentleman.
Yeah. Mixes nicely. And I'm a river guy, too. Right on the river.
Wow. Hey, before we go, my son, I just talked to him, Jason. He is working on keeping the river, I believe it's in Tennessee. So he's headed up a $68 million project because I was asking him how civil engineering was going and if they had many projects. He says they were slammed. So that just brought that up. They're trying to keep the river from eroding and fading out. So that's pretty cool. He said it's doing great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What's his title?
Jason is a PE engineer, and he heads up things. Like he's got several degrees. This particular project is water and soil. He has a degree in that as well as Spanish. And his college graduate project was to. He made a water sprinkling system which measured the water in the soil instead of coming on as a timer. And the college patented it. He has been writing all the test questions for North Carolina State University as well as his wife. So he does pretty well. It was good to hear from him. We have a birthday together on February 11th. He was born on my birthday. Oh, and happy birthday to my granddaughter, 1 year old today, my only grandchild, Avery Lee. And happy giving birthday to my daughter, Ashley Lee. And congratulations to Colin. Love my family. Go ahead and talk about the positive and negative energies.
Avery Lee, I want a happy birthday.
And Matthew, oh, wait a minute. Matthew got he's working on something with the fire department. He transferred from Union County to Mecklenburg County. And then Jackie, his wife, she just came back from Michigan and, anyway, go ahead. I don't know. I feel like I'm talking to you on the phone.
That's what it's, yeah.
It's good, I mean, though. It's good because I'm that relaxed. I'm so relaxed. But
yeah.
I just woke up out of a deep meditation, pad three today, because I go in there and get visions and get some information of what I need because I'm really listening, and I did not pull out of it till 1 minute to eight. So that's why I'm a little, like, bouncy here. I did that last week on Tuesday. I'm going to have to stop doing that. We endorsed President Obama last week. Let's remember that.
Yes, you did.
You did, too.
Yes, I did. I haven't went public with it, but...
Yes, you did last week on air.
Well, yeah, but once it hits my network, it'll...
Oh, yeah.
I could lose
it's getting very interesting. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'll probably lose 1,000 friends, but
I'm gaining friends. I'm gaining friends right and left, so it's really cool.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's
important.
Yeah, I was against Obama right up. He's got me the last 6 months. He's got me. Everything is going the right direction, slow but sure. And the rescues and taking out Bin Laden and all the other things that he accomplished.
That's amazing. That is a major accomplishment. I don't even know. I'm so in awe of him taking him out, Bin Laden. That is just amazing. And pulling the troops out of Iraq. Tell us a little bit about what you see as the world, and then let's talk. We'll cover the positive and negative spiritual warfare in a minute because I really get interested in what you have to say politically.
Well, as above, so below. I mean, you got warfare down here and you got warfare in the spiritual world.
Exactly.
So it's who of us to be a white lighter or a shadow.
Don't we need the shadows in order to help us? Because it's just like with the shadows and the sun, you know, we have to have that shadow in order to know that we're still there. That's what it is outside, but then the shadows forces, you know, the dark side that hides and sneaks and keeps secretive and, you know, that kind of thing, that is just a big no-no now.
Uh-huh. You know, I just heard Jesus say, I didn't come to change the law, I come to fulfill it.
Wow.
Oh.
That's great.
In the grand scheme of things, you got to have, which is one of my theories, that that Lucifer volunteered to be the negative element of our development. But it's a long story. But
go ahead. You go with the flow, because, you know, we active listening audience, we do not prepare, because we feel that whatever is happening through whatever we're supposed to say will come out. So just bear with us. We're going to get it going really strong. Here it goes. Michael, go ahead with that one. I'd like to hear it. Just don't make me get out my Bible, period.
I went from free weights and elliptical machines, heavy metal, and here I am, and now I'm just channeling the love and the peace. So, like you said, the grants, you need the shadow to have the white lighter, the white worker, the dark worker. So, why not trace it back to the very beginning of the blueprint? You know, the only thing is,
Michael, I call it a roadmap, because a blueprint is something built. A roadmap continues.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Because I was just reading about my uncle that's an architect, the Duke, Theodore. And that's ironic you brought that up, because we always would go in there and smell his blueprints as he was going to do the Coliseum here in Charlotte. He passed away, but then, anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's funny we're talking about this, because on my Facebook, I got thought of the day, and the last three thoughts of the day were geared on hell and negativity. And here we are spontaneously doing a show on it.
Wow. See how it works? That's what we're supposed to evidently be on and talk about and see what's going out there with that.
Yeah. See, I believe all the religions have a little bit of the truth, and if we put them together, we'll get a concept of just what's going on. If we create our own future, we obviously create our own hell too, and that we do create our own hell. What hell is and how intense it is, I believe, is judged by your intentions and motives. Like somebody murdering somebody, if they were mentally insane, or were they robbing them? There's a big difference there. A soldier and a criminal, once again, there's a big difference there. It's still the same act, but somewhere along the line, I believe we're the co-creator of everything that we go through, our heaven and our hell. And the Bible is a good place to start. Any religious book, they're all basically the Old Testament up until Paul kicked in, you know. So any holy book, as long as you're putting on the shining light and everything is in the glory of the light, you're going to have some negatives and disorder, but it'll slide off you, and you're not going to project it. You're going to share the light and the love, hopefully, and that's how we develop, through loving each other and accomplishing positive things. That's how we develop. One of my theories is, if you look at our education system, how everybody graduates together, and then you go through school and college together, well, it's a lot like that in spirit. of us now that is doing the right thing are going to graduate, and there'll be a handful that aren't, and they get left behind, and they can either stay in what they created or go back again, where reincarnation would kick in.
You know, my psychology teacher, my psychology teacher, Wisdom, at Central Piedmont Community College, he said, you are where you're supposed to be, and you're right where you put yourself because you chose it. Just like the person, he was using an example with some people that weren't in class. He said, if you choose to go out and drink and get, you know, have a hangover and you're not in class, you are where you're supposed to be. So that's pretty good that brought that to my attention.
Yeah. If you want to break it down to the way, where you just go through life enlightened to the point knowing that everything is happening exactly the way it's supposed to, when it's supposed to, then live your life that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way you can live. There's many different ways of going through the physical. You know? Love and worship in a higher power, to me, is the best way.
Well, what do you think the motives are for the demonic, negative forces, satanic cults, rituals, sacrifices, and all the crap that goes on? Or does it go on, or is it just make-believe? I mean, you know what I mean? What is what is the purpose of a satanic cult?
Well,
it seems like it's really bad stuff because
it's such a vague satanic cult. I mean, it could be an order of Masons, or it could be a bunch of celebrities, or
it could even be a bunch of people trying to play with the mind control crap too. I mean, they could use rituals any way they want.
Really, I mean, a true Satanist is straight up. I mean, they're true to their belief. They worship. Actually, a true Satanist is a person that worships capitalism, material over spirit.
Well, that's basically like an atheist thinks, because an atheist is material only. But if you think about the skeleton in a body, you know, that's material. So therefore, they've got to believe that soul is man and man. You know, God created us in one image, that was his soul. But they don't see it that way because they want only material, I guess. You're right.
Yeah, well, there are orthodox Satanists that would be insulted if you said they were wacky or wrong. They worship materialism, capitalism. And sometimes they incorporate different beliefs. So Buddhism, witchcraft, magic, even some Christians, believe it or not.
Well, help me to understand why they have a sacrifice of a human or whatever. And if it is it killing a human, or is it playing with, you know, they can even do
I think what you're referring to now and nowadays would be considered an extremist or fanatical, or not so much Satanist, but just plain right evil or insane.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. What is Scientology?
And then they take all the symbolism from magic and witchcraft and plaster it all over their format.
Oh, I see.
So it looks like you got a bunch of real witches that are hell-bent on a mission, but what you got is just a bunch of nuts that don't even know what they're doing.
The nut jokes. That's one of your things you post in your...
Yeah, they're a bunch of nut jokes. You know, even the devil don't want them.
Yeah.
The devil scratches their head. Oh, my God, not another...
another wannabe. Well, you know, to me, witchcraft is, what is it, got the white witches and the black witches, dark witches, right?
Yeah.
The ones that do good in the world. And then you got the ones that like to manipulate, control, and...
And you have that with all beliefs, the dark side of the beliefs. Because you got a lot of dark Christians, and you got a lot of dark witches, you got a lot of dark magicians of all kinds, sorcerers, seers, and fortune tellers, and astrologers, and you got your dark ones, and you got your white ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Wiccans that do nothing but healings and help people. A lot of Orthodox Satanists are probably some of our world leaders and some of the biggest money out there that's making things happen. So, but the ones that we're talking about that is on the negative side, they're just dark workers. And unfortunately, they give scholars in metaphysics a bad name.
That's what I want to come to the conclusion. I want to understand, because your field is very, you're a graduate, basically, of this kind of stuff. You know, you've studied it all.
And I also got one ear in spirit while I'm talking, so I throw in a lot of what I'm hearing from spirit.
Okay.
And I judge the fruits. In metaphysics, you're quantum jumping, and it's the speed of a... You can't describe the speed that imagery and interpretation and perception takes place in. And
that's like one form that you were telling me that as a form of reading, like... I take like what the state of the address of the union, the nation, last couple of weeks ago, and I take pieces that resemble to my life, you know, just like with reading something on the TNT News Trader. Take those pieces, don't really, you know, go with that subject, but I relate to it and I get a message out of it. If that makes any sense, you were explaining that was a form of getting messages and readings and.
You know, I'll simplify it, and you know me well. You know my heart, my soul.
Yes, I do, and it's beautiful.
And what I do,
I'm loving and kind and gentle, and you state you're a Christian, which I believe that you walk it and live by it. And I really admire you for all that you've learned. And had the dark night of the soul, and you taught me, you teach me a lot, and you teach several. I just want to just say that I really love it when you talk your studies to me, because you help me to understand, to put the dots together, to make the understanding of what's going on. Because, I mean, I flow with it, you know. I just flow with it. I don't prepare for anything, just whatever comes out. So go ahead and let's have a Michael Gover lecture night, a teaching night.
Well, I could simplify it a little bit. Like I said, you know me, and thank you for the compliments, and it's an honor, babe, because I feel the same way about you.
Well, thank you, sir.
Your talent and abilities... have no words to describe it. That's how great it is. So, but anyway,
I can't describe either. I don't know either. So, but thank you so much. That's really wonderful to hear.
Well, your art and photography and writing is like I said many times, hasn't been discovered yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, the dark side, white side, the life that I live, I could very easily be swayed by the negative to do evil. Very easy. 95% of my clients are female. I studied hypnosis, mind control, and voice vibrations for years, remote viewing. I'm in a field that would allow me access to steadily string people along just for materialism. And it would be so easy and simple. And sometimes when I'm down to my last cappuccino, I'll hear a voice say, "Michael, come on. So easy."
That's why it's a fine line and a narrow road to heaven's gates, you know. And that's a perfect analogy of how thin that line is to keep the straight and narrow to get into those gates of heaven.
Right. I mean, I can go into, for another $100, I can get rid of this for you, and I can cleanse that, and I can do this, and these people would be throwing it at me. And as bad as I need it, and
you're capable of doing it.
I put on the armor of the light, and I say, no, I'm not going out like that. That would be like a punk. I don't want to be a punk.
Right.
You know, I don't. When I cross over, I'll have another feather in my bonnet for not going the dark side.
Do you believe that this transformed in your life due to the fact that of all the deep studies that you did, and that you know of it, and that's why it's so easily accessible? But it's almost like you're so high up in the teaching metaphysical intuitive realm that you have to stay the straight and the right side and kind of keep it balanced because of the fact that it is so strong, you know, both sides of the field.
Very good question, because that's a very real dynamic. The more you develop, and the more light you become, the harder and the more painful the trials are.
Very good. It's like the strong man, you know, just like you working out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like that being a Christian, or the strong to the white light, is that the more you work out, the more endurance of the pain tolerance you have to take for the muscles to go to that that let down of the asceticity in the muscles. And you got to be able to work through the negative forces in order to gain that strength of the positive.
Absolutely.
Use it as a lesson and discernment.
Absolutely. And believe me, you will be tested. I mean, there's miracles, and there are paranormal experiences and activity, and people are blessed beyond blessed at times in life, but did you ever notice the old saying, money goes to money, or it's always the wrong person that hits the lottery?
Yeah.
You know, it's once you become spiritual, it's not a guarantee that your life is going to become magical and carefree.
Mine is very, very grabbing hold of the carpet in order to survive. When I surrendered and gave it all, you know, to do this mission, you know, spiritually out there, and get people to wake up right, and the walk is very. It's continuously challenging, but it is also rewarding more so than the challenges are.
Absolutely. And
it's just like being a universe that we call it, you know.
Yes.
And it's like graduating to the next class each time that you succeed in the proper way of utilizing those lessons that are tempting in the seeds planted.
You know, when I have a client that what would you say, a high-end client, I ask them one question. I ask them, before I do the reading and get to know them, I ask them, do you want to serve in heaven or do you want to rule in hell? And you'd be surprised how many said rule in hell.
No way. Whoa. I hope you cleanse in them. I know you do, because I've seen you work here, the cleansing and that you do with yourself after you've worked with a client. But I know that you're doing good for them because you help them to see the good in things instead of going that way.
I had a couple
days. I feel that they think it's power, but there's more power on the good side, you know, the light. And
a couple of them got upset. They were appalled by the idea of serving anywhere.
Wow.
Especially in heaven.
Mm-mm-mm.
They were appalled by it. And so it gives you an idea of what types of personalities that we share our planet with and the people that are out there. And I help them a lot, and I do try to show them that you can be successful and prosper in the light. It's not all bending over and serving.
Well, don't they realize that when they serve the dark, that they owe the dark even 10,000 times more? That you don't owe God anything because he is only there if of our free will. But when you go to the dark side, your will is owned by that satanic type dark side. You know what I mean? You have to pay back. You have to keep paying back. Because the seeds keep coming and seeds keep coming in the thought, and they'll rule your brain if you let them.
Uh-huh.
But if you know that, the demonic is there in the brain, and you just don't give it acknowledgement, you know, if the seed's planted and you do not, you just dismiss it, ignore it, flick it like a booger, you know, circle your finger and flick it, and don't play. Don't ever play or toy with those negative thoughts or ideas or, you know, temptations. Like you said a couple of weeks ago, that Satan will love you to death. He's your cocaine. He's your next stitch. He's your, you know, all the things that will kill you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I love that analogy.
Satan.
And God, to me, when I stay on the right, just like I use you a lot of times as a priest, confessions, right? You know, if I keep my vessel totally clean and I admit my wrongdoings or my thoughts or even my lessons to someone, which I choose to use you because you just are not only my mate, but you are my teacher, you know, as the both coincide together. And we know how to split that without having it in a relationship. But what I'm gathering in this whole conversation that I am getting out of what you're saying is that the light is very, very bright. I mean, it's extremely bright. It's blinding, nearly. Satan was made to be the most beautiful angel of light. So people, when they hear or feel something, ask if you are of Christ's light, and say, hear them say that they are, because there's billions and quadrillions of star systems, star seeds, everything in this world is got to be together, and it's what makes it balance. It's just that, like you said, the motives, somebody's motives, and moralistically and values, you know. What's in it for you? You know, what is it? It's just like I keep bringing up the rich man's gate, where his brother, he was a spiritualist, a Lazarus, and his brother was so wealthy, but he thought of his brother as a bum because he was a spiritual worker and teacher, and he didn't have any you know, means of having money come in. And so the rich man, his brother, would only give him crumbs, and the dogs would lick his wounds. And, you know, it was this amazing story in the Bible. But where they go to, you know, they both die, and Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom, and he goes to hell to visit his brother and says, please have mercy on my brother. He did get, let him be forgiven for treating me that way. And the angel of mercy gave his brother a chance to, because he wanted him, give him some water. He was parched, you know, it's desolate, hell in there, down there. And he said, please forgive me, please forgive me, just give me some water. But because he did not really mean his forgiveness and he saw his wrongdoings, the angel of mercy passed him by. And his brother had to, you know, went on up with Abraham because, you know, he was doing it for ulterior motives. He wanted the drink of water. He wasn't really sorry. He just wanted the drink of water. Instead of being truly convicted in his actions and his ways and means, you know. And that's just like somebody apologizing to somebody for something that they've done, you know. And then the other person not accepting the apology or not forgiving the person, that's another type of a stay down there and don't get any water, you know, because that's just as wrong not to accept the apology as it is for the person that did them wrong to begin with. What do you think of that?
I agree. There's a lot of people that say they're sorry and they're really not.
Exactly.
And they hold on to it, or they continue to create bad thoughts, because thoughts is action.
Right.
You know, energy follows thoughts. And,
I've got to ask you this. I'm sorry, I'm ADD tonight, very much so. But you just pulled something really strong in my heart, and that is, that what is an ulterior motive?
An ulterior motive, I believe, is when somebody is doing something but has a hidden agenda.
Okay, like a shadow.
It could be anything.
Like undermine. Is that like undermining somebody? An ulterior motive is undermining?
Let's say, speaking
under their breath at something, but really having, saying something, but really have another reason for it. But that's like a lie.
Well, it's a combination of things. In New York, we call it sneaky. But it's like if somebody, like a mechanic, is looking over your car, and he pops a hole here or there.
That's what I think's happening to my mother's buildings. That's a perfect thank you. It's an ulterior, because all of a sudden, her being 78 years old, her all her buildings and all her things that Daddy built from scratch, from several houses to even this house I live in. All of a sudden, every heat and air conditioner will go out. And it's pitiful. Then all of a sudden, all of her buildings, the roofs will start leaking. One after another. It's really, and the guy came out here to fix my heat, remember? And we use the same Ross and Whitmer every time. And that's who my father had as a representation. And I knew that it was just the pilot light. I knew it because I just knew it in my heart. I've lived here 12, 13 years. And the guy took these little two things that hook onto like a positive negative with a little bolt thing. And he wasn't even touching it. And he said, look, you don't have any, the system's all the way out. And I went out and got your card, your intuitive consultation business card. And I just laid it down on the floor. And I said, it helps if you get centered with those little things. And I said, really, those things don't really matter. And anyway, he hightailed it out of here without even getting paid for a nighttime shift position, you know, to come out here and like $180 just to come out here when it was off the clock, you know, or whatever, you know, after hours. And so then the head guy called me because I really was freezing. It was like 50 degrees in the house, and I had just gotten over that pneumonia. And he said, "You have your mom call me before I come out there." And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "By the way, I said your worker might have thought I was kind of strange putting Michael and my intuitive consultations in my address on the back as well." I said, however, I have a little insight there. So anyway, I called Kurt, you know, Captain Kurt, that the head of the DA that trained everybody in half the Charlotte and he's in all the law books. Called him. He's a Mama Cook's brother-in-law. So I called his daughter, and she sent out one of the police officers that's retired to work on my unit. And all it was a freaking pilot light. And it was because the door, when they restored this house, did not get a little cracked at the bottom for air to get in. The pilot light was going out constantly. So there, it just goes to show you how, and Elton, my dad stressed to my mother that they will take advantage, because I know they're hungry, but still, that's condescending, and that is an ulterior motive, right? Is that right?
Yeah, and okay. He had an ulterior motive to keep coming back, but you're a tough cookie. You were a man in many past lives, you know.
I don't put up with nothing.
You're a tough cookie. I mean, you're a tough cookie.
My dad drilled me, Michael. I mean, I was by his side every day of his life up till he died. And I'm telling you, you know, the temperaments, there's cleric, melancholy, sanguine, and phlegmatic. Well, cleric is a headstrong, strong-willed, don't tell me what to do kind of person, but gets things done in a strong, firm, hardcore way. And a cleric not brought to Christ early is very hard to work with. But then everybody has more than one temperament. Then there's melancholy, which is sensitive, easy, hurt, and they can't make up their mind. They got to look, well, do you, let's go to the store. Well, you want me to go to the store? Oh, we're going to the store. Anyway, and then there's the phlegmatic that is real laid back. You could have the house caught on fire, and they would wait till it's up to their feet. Go, well, I guess I got to get up and go out. So I don't get burned up. You know, just real laid back. Then you've got the sanguine, which you can just never meet a stranger. It's 100 miles an hour with happy-go-lucky, you know, just like... Like they Sparky the same one that Tim LaHaye taught me this stuff. He's a very profound Christian writer. And he said with Sparky the same one, like the elevator door will open and the elevator's so jam-packed. But Sparky the same one will go right in and he can't even turn around. It's so crowded. But he goes, well, I guess you all are wondering why I called this meeting here today. You know, he's just real outgoing, never meets a stranger. But we all blend with all four temperaments, but one will take over the other at the given time. But it's a really good book. It's called The Spirit-Filled Temperament by Tim LaHaye. But, yeah, it's a fantastic. And I used his book to raise my children, How to Break the Will Without Breaking the Spirit, and learned a lot. And my children never had to get the punishment like I did when I was growing up. Because I'm from the olden days. You got your butt whipped, period. And you didn't talk back, and you took the whipping. And it didn't matter whether you did it or not. You're going to get the whipping. And I needed that. Because I was a back talker. I was a, you know, beat me all you want to. That makes you feel bad. You know, I was a cocky little thing. And Daddy helped me, and my mother helped me to as they call it, taming the spirit, harnessing the spirit, in other words. You know, and a lot of people call it the ego. We have that ego that tells us what to do and what not to do, but... Thank you, Michael. I needed to. I was feeling so scattered, and you helped me put things in an understanding category, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, babe.
It's like I've got so much information inside my heart, and I don't know where to categorize it at times because I so want to, you know, understand it myself.
You are a walking Winnipeg or encyclopedia. Anything from making. Raising beekeeping to making cheese, putting in a light switch, or
well, they made me learn it all. You know, it was tough. As a matter of fact, I failed debutante school because I couldn't do it. I couldn't be one of those little things. But then I learned it, You know, I've learned promptly. You can take me out and I can be the classiest lady in the world, or you can take me and, you know, if I'm working in the house and I'm really working spiritually, I will let my house go to the nth degree, including my body, self, and mind, because I call it going into the sewage. But when it's time, I can do it, because it's not make-believe, it's just who I am. But you're the same way, mister.
Well,
You've got many, I mean, you should be an actor.
yeah, I'd like to be an actor, a model. I want a paid radio job so I can.
You know, there's three here in Charlotte that have opened up. And anyway, I want to understand what you mean by the darkest night of the soul. And that's how you woke up.
Well, a dark night of the soul would be somebody that's on the spiritual path that is being tested and going through probably maybe one of the worst things that he's ever gone through.
So that wraps up with what we were talking about then, because you have the power and the knowledge. You know, when the police officer came to my house last year, I call him Officer Fox, but anyway, and I reported the hackings and the portals and the computer, and he wanted to know all about my family and everything. I was telling him, I said, I told him, because you were my boyfriend back then before we got really tied into engagement, but I said he can break you in half. He has that capacity. He could break what he could destroy you, but he also is the most profound healer I have ever seen, and he will not cross that line. But he knows how, and he's capable of it. And he was like, "Wow." I said, "That's because he has perfected who he is in his heart, and he's just an amazing man." And they needed to know where you lived and all. It was amazing. And then the detective called me, and then they called Ashley. Anyway, it's this great little thing that I got to tell. I said, "Listen up and tune into that man."
People have done checks on me and laughed about it. There was absolutely nothing.
I know. You had me do it one time, remember?
It
Because
was absolutely
I don't
nothing.
think I have a ticket. I don't think I even have a ticket. I want to be so truthful. And you know, my little friend Allison, we had that argument a couple of weeks ago because I felt my boundaries invaded, you know, and she taught me a lot. Because she wanted me to understand that she would never leave my side, that she'd go down with the ship with me, but with being in that brutal beating and raping and trapped in that car, and I needed my space. And she was one of the head witnesses of what happened on the trial, the grand jury trial. And then we lost each other for 10 years, and then she came back in my life through the private eye, which represented that guy in the trial, which he wasn't. Anyway, she wouldn't leave me alone, and so I was feeling trapped because it was bringing back those memories. But then when she came the other day and we held each other, I told her, I said, "You don't want to go down with the ship. You want to go down with the ship." I said, "What is it that you love about me?" She says, "Because you are the only person in this world that tells me the truth. Even if it hurts, you tell me the truth." And she says that a lot of people cannot tolerate the truth, that it hurts, you know, because it shows them their shadows of truth. Because a lot of times when I'm attacked, all the time when I'm attacked, I will pull out the person's truth to expose it to help heal them. And they disappear out of my life a lot of times because it hurts them to see their own truth. But I will not attack in any way except for a truthful way. And I don't mean it to be an attack. It's just that. You know, don't degrade my name and don't, you know, try to cover up using me as the scapegoat any longer. And Michael, you have really taught me well with patience. I always knew I had patience, but now I have patience of this, what is it, of the Satan? Job, patience of the Job, Saint of Job. But I know wonderful things are coming about. I want to give an affirmation so bad for you. I'm going to go on and just tell a little bit about it, okay? On the 30th of December, we were on Blog Talk, our other radio station, Bridging Dash Wisdom. And at the end, you were here visiting, and you gave me an intuitive, and I gave you an intuitive. And you said that somebody in my family, highest honors, metal. You kept saying metal. I said, maybe it's Jason, you know, for a civil. You said, very well, could be. And I said, maybe it's me, because you saw me writing. And you said, well, it's just highest metal. Well, I got an email from my Uncle Ronnie, the one that we played the music last week, his composition. And the family has come to find out that one of our relatives, which is my grandfather, came here during the war, right when the German war broke out, World War II, and some of his family stayed over, but it was his dad's uncle that got the, it's called the sword, I don't remember the name of it, but it's the highest honor that you could get. Against, he was a fighter pilot against Russia. And anyway, we're looking into that. We have to have a picture of his name is Frederick Theodore, which Carmen, my cousin, when she first heard us together, she said that the hairs raised up off her arm because the energy was so great. Her father is Theodore, which we call him the Duke. Anyway, I'm going to let active listening audience watch this and watch the affirmations unfold of this profound man.
Nice. I like being watched and researched.
Mm-hmm. I'm digging into it, honey, because I know that my grandfather showed me the medals. He had it in the shadow box. It's about 16 years old. And he said they came from his family, you know, his uncles and his, you know, brothers and stuff, you know. Because only he and Uncle Frederick came over from Germany and started the first hosiery mill here. And he lived on Queen's Road West. And in it on, Charlotte is the queen city and Mecklenburg. And I've just started digging all these little roots, and it comes with... I don't want to spoil the story until it's totally together. But Michael, we're about out of time. We started late, so we're to go to the top of the hour. But I want to start. I want to put in the energy ball of giving thanks, of helping to unfold even more in my world, as well as hopefully others' world, and give thanks to you and put you as total halo, angel halos, and beauty surround you in that energy ball to stay with you continuously. And for you to be prospered in all the gifts that you've got, that we have discussed, what you would like to share with the world, from meditation texts to so many things. And I would like to put in that energy ball also the unconditional love and acceptance of our lessons and forgiveness, and to be totally honest and truthful with utmost respect. I'd like to put in United States of America and the president and all of the staff, because, you know, we are a solid, firm country, and I'm just honored to be an American. What would you like to put in the ball?
Well, I would like to say, what I'm just saying on all my shows, that everybody please dwell on peace, love, and light between Iran and the rest of the world and Israel, because everybody is saying, come on.
Wow, put them in the energy ball. That's great. I love it.
Please, please, every day send a light of love to Iran and Israel.
Right.
And I want to thank God for allowing the last on earth to be the first in heaven.
Amazing.
Love you.
I want to also put in that energy ball every human soul to come together and unite as one, because we are here to be a unity of oneness, a united oneness. And 11, you know how I love the number 11, because that's all my kids were born on those days, and it's amazing because you know what it is? It's a one-e-one, because you go from the real number 0, and then you go 1 through 9, and then when you get to the 10, it's a 1 and a 0. But why is an 11 not called a 1-e-1? Happy birthday, Avery Lee. God made you just prosper plenty with so much wisdom. My daughter calls me Grandmother Wisdom because I'm working with her since she was before she still in the womb, and she's going to be amazing. Let's also pray for our children, because they are the generation that is going to bring this world around, and all the young adults that we have now working together to keep them in center and bless them, because they are making the newness of this world and the newness and the balance of this world that is coming to about, and the energy to go with the flow. Go with the flow. And with that, Michael, anything else you want to wrap up and say?
Yes, I'm available in private, and I can be reached at 518-249-3995, and Google me. I have radio shows all over the Matrix. And with that, peace and love.
And I want to say one more thing. People that don't understand the political, I'm learning to go to thewhitehouse.com, and it shows both of everything that's going on. And I'm learning. I'm really learning, but I'm giving my heart to, you know, my vote to President Obama due to the fact of discernment and the feel and the understanding that I have gotten and gained from him, you know, the way he really loves us as a father, forefather of this country. And with that, Michael, prayers and prosperities. And remember the seeds that everyone plants, and remember to make sure that you harvest the right fruit. And with that, this is Kathy Cook at bbsradio.com, Station 1, Bridging Wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time, bringing life higher one octave at a time. And my co-host, Michael Goger, on Tuesday, February 7th, 2012, and we are off the air. Listen up and tune in to the next show, the spiritual show that is amazing. I listen to them every day after I get off the air. So with that, we're off the air. Bye-bye, everybody. Love you, Michael. Love you, world.
God bless. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye. Peace.